I'm sure that you've all had the experiences in your lives, or perhaps you are going through such a time right now in your life when you found that you were going through difficult trial and struggle to the point that maybe you started to ask the questions of the Lord, why? Or how long? When is this going to end? And why am I going through this? And I think that the answer comes very much in what we see in today's gospel reading in the Transfiguration. This time that the apostles who are preparing for the crucifixion of Christ, though they don't really understand what is about to happen or why it's going to happen, and definitely during the time that it happens, they're completely bewildered and confused and scattered, do not know how to deal with the situation. But before it all happens, Jesus gives a select few this glimpse of his glory. He allows them to see the glory and beauty of his face, radiant in all of its splendor. He shows himself to be God, reveals himself. And this is something that, among other reasons, prepares the apostles for what is to come, to help them to be a reminder to them that as they're going to go through this passion, as Jesus is going to suffer and die, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. There is a purpose for all of this. That in fact, it is the resurrection that is to come. And so we need that reminder every now and then ourselves of what we're doing this for. That we're doing it for God. That we're doing it to grow deeper into his love, into his heart. But we need that reminder because we forget, especially the longer that we are enduring suffering and difficulty and trial, we sit there asking, why, Lord? Why is this happening? How long do I have to put up with this? And the Lord wants to remind us that he's with us through it and that he is faithful to his promises. And that's what we can doubt sometimes, thinking that maybe God has abandoned us. Maybe the Lord won't forgive me this time. Maybe I'm not going to be able to manage to get through this situation. Maybe there won't be an end. All these kinds of questions can kind of go through our minds. But the Lord lets us know that he is truly, truly faithful to his promises. And to give a good example, I think we can also look to the first reading, which, just to kind of help you understand what was going on there, maybe some of you, when you were children, used to do that thing where you make a promise to someone and say, cross my heart, hope to die. You know, maybe stick a needle in my eye. It depends how far you went with that. But that little old saying, while you may not have known what the meaning behind it was, it originated as a way of expressing that it was an oath of faith. It was a way of swearing that you would uphold the promises that you would give. You say, I cross my heart, I make a sign of the cross on my heart, I'm sealed through the promise of Christ, that I vow unto the Lord that I will do what I say I'm going to do. So it's actually a very serious kind of promise, but you know, we said it casually. That I promise to God I will do what I say I'm going to do, or else I shall die. I hope that I shall die. And so it was a way of making a promise of saying, I vow so much that I'm going to do what I say I'm going to do, that I enact a curse upon myself should I not do it. Should I not follow through, may I then die. You know, children obviously are not thinking that when they're saying that little saying. But it is similar very much to what's happening in the first reading. Because although to our minds today we may think it sounds like a bizarre and brutal sort of thing that's happening, that Abram is splitting a bunch of animals in two, and then he has this dream that a smoking pot and a torch are passing through these animals, and we think, how barbaric, like what exactly does that mean? And it's because it was at that time a way of expressing a covenant promise. It was an oath being sworn. what they would do is they believed that when they would make a covenant amongst each other, people in that culture would take and cut animals in half, and then you would walk through it. You would pass between the animals, whoever was making the promise, you would pass through the animals as a way of saying that I swear that whatever promise I am making, I will uphold, and if I should not uphold it, may what has happened to these animals happen to me. May I be split apart and killed. You know, that's essentially, so they're swearing upon themselves that curse, should I not uphold my promise. And so when Abram prepares these animals and splits them in two, and he has this dream where a smoking pot and a burning flame come passing through, that is to symbolize God walking through these animals, to say he is enacting this promise upon himself. It's the burning kettle, the smoking kettle, is to show the presence of God, like the smoke that hovered over the waters at the beginning of creation, or the smoke that passed down on the tabernacle, that cloud. It's to represent the presence of God, and the flame is the flame of his spirit. So it's showing that this is God, and he is saying to Abram that if I do not follow through with my promises, may such a death befall upon me. Now, of course, God can't die, but he's making a point. He's expressing to Abram how seriously he is taking these promises that he's going to give him land, that he's going to give him a great heritage, that he wants this life for him and for a great number of people in the future. God's promises to us that he makes very seriously. He wants us to know how committed he is to us. So even in those times when we think, you know, Lord, where are you? Are you still going to be with us through this time? You know, we're going through this 40 days of Lent. Is there going to be an end? Are we going to see a light at the end of the tunnel? The Lord lets us know that he is faithful to his promises. He is leading us into his glory. He wants to draw us into his heart, and he will never forget us. He will never abandon us, no matter how it might feel. Because we all have to go through our 40 days or our 40 years. You know, just like those people in the desert, you think that if anyone had cause to start to doubt God and wonder if he was going to fulfill his promises, think of the Israelites walking through the desert for 40 years. 40 years. Of course, eventually you're going to wonder, is this really going to come to an end? But it did. They reached the promised land. They reached the land that the Lord had sworn to them. Because our Lord is faithful to his promises. And so we can know that as well, because we all have to go through our 40 years. And our 40 years is this life. This life as we prepare for the kingdom of heaven. And so whatever trials we may be going through, whatever trials you may go through in the future, if you think, is there going to be an end? How am I going to know that the Lord is going to still be there? Does he still love me? The answer is always, undeniably, yes. Yes. Because our Lord does not break his promises. And he lets us know how serious he is. And if we ever have to doubt, if we ever find ourselves doubting those promises, look again at the cross. Look again at how he gave his life for us. What lengths he was willing to go to for you. For you. So remember that. Remember that light of the glory of God's face. In those times when you're struggling, think back on what Jesus has shown you before, because he will not abandon you. He will always be with you.